Let's pray. God, we give thanks for Mary, for the role she played in bringing about you and her willingness to risk everything, to be vulnerable, to share her body so that your life and your love can be manifest in a way that we've never seen before. May it be so with us. May we risk, may we be vulnerable, and may we dare to bring you in this time and this place. Amen. As Christians, we are great at eavesdropping. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but that's what we do when we read the Bible. This holy text is a compilation of letters that were written to other people. Some stories for the Jews, some for particular churches to remember Jesus. Some are pieces of mail that were written and addressed to other people. We eavesdrop a lot. But just because we are great at eavesdropping, that doesn't mean we do it well. There's so much we miss, so much we fail to understand, so much we overlook. I'm convinced that one of those things that we overlook most is Israel's temple, in particular, the centrality of the Holy of Holies. For whatever reason, maybe it's because the Hebrews viewed the world so differently than us. We just can't grasp Israel's center of worship. I think it's because we're just used to having a nice, comfortable, cozy house of worship. Our church is a space that makes us feel like we belong, like we are loved. There we are reminded that we are surrounded by people who love us. And that's why we miss the church building so much. It means something more to us than just a floor and some walls and a roof. It's a space of haven, of welcome, of delight. And while for ancient Israel, the temple really was the center of their world and their faith, the reason for that was because in the center of the temple was the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies. And the Hebrews believed that this space at the center, it was the most dangerous space in the world. We don't view our church like that. The only way I can describe it is by imagining this Ark of the Covenant as something akin to a black hole. And that's not something you ever want to mess with. There's a story in Samuel about someone accidentally reaching out and trying to stabilize the Ark of the Temple as it was about to fall, and instantaneously this person is swallowed up and destroyed. The Ark was unstable, unpredictable, mysterious. And this is why the Israelites created the temple, after all. Our Old Testament text for this morning describes David's desire to create this great religious sanctuary. And sure, the Israelites wanted it because they knew it would grant them some legitimacy and standing with the larger world. But the primary reason the Israelites wanted this temple was to keep themselves safe. They wanted to keep themselves separated a bit from this Ark of the Covenant. So once they built the temple, they put the Holy of Holies in the middle, and they deemed that only appointed men could ever go in there because they knew that it was dangerous. And if you aren't careful, you're never going to be able to come out. Contemporary Christianity has failed to grasp the importance of the temple in Jewish and Christian theology, and it's tragic. Because the centrality of the temple permeates throughout the entire New Testament. Jesus' birth, his life, his death, the resurrection, Pentecost, the church, the new creation, all of these crucial moments in the New Testament, they all are articulated through the same lens, the same prism, and that's the temple. The echoes, they are everywhere. But because we aren't that great at eavesdropping, we fail to miss those important parts of the scriptural conversation. This morning's story from Luke about the angel approaching Mary to be the mother of God is another such moment that is just bursting with echoes about the temple. And if we fail to hear those, then we fail to grasp that this story is a story that has many dress rehearsals before the performance that becomes definitive in Mary. That the story of Mary's miraculous pregnancy is tied to how God has interacted with Israel before. For example, when the angel proclaims that the Holy Spirit would be the father of Mary's child, the angel uses the word overshadow. Jewish listeners would remember and recall the times when the Ark of the Covenant was overshadowed by the cherubim, or when God overshadowed the tabernacle in Exodus. Hebrews 9 refers to this as well when it says, "Above it were the cherubim of glory, which overshadowed the mercy seat." Overshadow is a rare word throughout the scriptures. And when it is used, it's almost always references the Ark of the Covenant, the temple itself. And by using this rare word, Luke wants us to somehow tie Mary and her unique pregnancy to this most holy space within Israel's history. But this isn't the only echo we find to the ark in our story. For when Mary later goes to spend time with her cousin Elizabeth, we are told that when Elizabeth meets and greets Mary, that the baby John the Baptist skips for joy in Elizabeth's room. Skip is another rare word in the Old Testament. And guess what? Both times we find it are about stories of the Ark of the Covenant. We find it in 1 Chronicles, if you remember, when David undignifiedly dances before the Ark. And likewise, later we are told that the Levites shout and they skip when they welcome the Ark home. By including these echoes, Luke wants us to see that Mary's story is intimately connected to the stories of the Ark and the Temple of the Lord. And not just Luke. The author of Revelation associates the Ark of the Covenant with a woman that's about to give birth. Revelation 11 describes God's temple in heaven being open so that the world could see God's Ark for once and for all. And inside that Ark, what do we find? A woman clothed with the sun who is pregnant. The earliest of Christians, they were better eavesdroppers than we were. And that's why one of their most favorite terms for Mary was Immaculate Ark. Now you might be wondering, why do I spend so much time with these echoes? What difference does it make that Luke compares Mary to the temple? Well, like I said, the Ark of the Covenant and later the house or the Holy of Holies that housed it, that was understood to be the most dangerous space in all of Earth, if you even can call it Earth. And the reason that it was so dangerous is because the Israelites maintained that this holy place, it existed outside of created matter. It's the gateway, the portal, where heaven and earth literally meet. It's the space from which God can enter into our world. If you remember Israel or Isaiah's commission in the 6th chapter of Isaiah, it is while Isaiah is in the Holy of Holies that he has a great vision. And in this great vision, he sees the hem of God's robe filling the temple. In other words, he sees God's descending down and entering into our world. And during the Hanging the Green service, we heard the story of Zechariah. And where does he encounter this God that makes him mute? While he's serving in the Holy of Holies, of course. And that's because the Holy of Holies was understood to be this eternal space that exists outside of all creation. In fact, Jews maintained that it was from within the Holy of Holies, actually, that God created our entire world. For this reason, outside of the Holy Holies, they placed a veil. This veil symbolized the beginning of our material existence. And if you are fortunate enough to ever be able to exit out of the Holy of Holies. As you left, you would see pictures presenting the days of creation in order. The lights, then the waters, then the plants, then the animals, and so on. Now, do you remember how God creates the world according to Genesis? Ex nihilo, out of nothing. God does not need any matter to work with. God just speaks things into being. And it is from within the Holy of Holies that the Creator continually emerges to set the people free. That's what the Jewish liturgy of the Atonement is all about, allowing God to emerge from this sacred space so creation can flow freely again. For as humans, we continually desecrate God's creation. And so from the Holy of Holies, God must emerge again and again to reconcile and restore God's created order to God's self. Perhaps by now, you are beginning to sense how the Holy of Holies might find its definite performance in the life of Mary. By including all these details, Luke is trying to show us that Mary is God's new Holy of Holies, the new Immaculate Ark. Her womb is literally the historical reality which the temple prefigured, for it's from her that the Creator, that Yahweh, is again preparing to erupt into our world. From her womb, God soon will emerge again to reconcile and restore God's created order with God's self. And if we begin to perceive these details, then we can gather why Mary must have been a virgin. Because that's just the way God creates from within the Holy of Holies. The virginal conception has everything to do with the God who creates out of nothing. And more than this, in Genesis, when God creates, God does so nonviolently, by asking permission, by inviting God's creation to be part of the creation process itself. And God does the same here. That's why God will not consume Mary's virginity, for God will never compromise Mary's freedom and her personhood, and God will never do the same with us. Yes, God overshadows her, but more importantly, God preserves her completely. Through all these details, Luke wants us to understand Mary as the new Holy of Holies, the new sacred space that allows the Creator to emerge again to set this world free. There's a great story in the non-canonical Gospel of St. James, which highlights this connection better than I can. James has Mary weaving the veil of the temple when the angel comes to her and announces that she is going to be the mother of God. Clearly, no Jew or Christian would ever believe this to be historically accurate, because no woman was ever allowed to be anywhere near the Holy of Holies. The Gospel of James is just elaborating on the symbolism of our story, that God has elected a woman, Mary, to be the physical Holy of Holies in this world. And what Mary is doing during those 9 months of her pregnancy was, in fact, weaving the veil of flesh, which enables us to see God come into the world. Creation out of nothing, that becomes a real performance in the life of Mary. The story of Mary is the story about God transforming an ordinary woman into the Holy of Holies so that from her, the Creator might emerge into our world in the flesh. What the angel invites Mary that day is to be the linking place, the portal between the Creator and the created world. And the virgin birth, this is how the early Christians emphasized Mary's unique and important role. For Mary is the Immaculate Ark, the gate of heaven, the channel between heaven and earth, which allows God to erupt again to make all things right. I know it's hard for us to understand the virgin birth today. It's an odd biological mystery. How are we to believe that Jesus is fully human when his birth was so alien to the entire human experience? I think Luke recognizes that Mary's conception intentionally pushes us up right against the limits of language. And the only way Luke can make sense of it is by turning to a poetic image, to the Holy of Holies, to make us pause and see Mary and her birth through God's prior interactions with all of humanity. A few years ago, Rowan Williams, in an interview on BBC, was pushed to answer if he believed in the historicity of the virgin birth. And at first he tried to dodge the answer. But when he finally answered it, this is what he said. "Yes, I believe that the conception of Jesus was a moment when the creative action of God produced a reality as new in its way as the first moment of creation itself." And I think this is what Luke is proclaiming by linking Mary to the ark. For it tells us, the virgin birth emphasizes that Christmas is a brand new creation story. It's a story about the God who creates, who's coming to create again, this time through the child Jesus. That the creator is now on the loose again to do what God always does, to set God's people free and to allow creation to flow freely again. And the only way that was to happen was because Mary said yes to being the portal that links heaven to earth. And if Mary is a creation story, then Mary's Magnificat, which we know so well, that is a string of poetic images that details God's new creation. It's a picture of the world that God longs to create, the world as it was always intended to be. Mary magnifies for us God's world. And that's a world free of hierarchy, oppression, inequality, and domination. A world free from all the sinful ways which we use to relate to one another. God's created order, where one is no longer ruled by a few, by just those who are mighty and powerful. Mary's song describes a world of equality, where poor have dignity, where everyone has enough and is well fed. A world based on God's principles of justice, mercy, and humility. This isn't good news for all. It requires a radical reformation of the order of things. God has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. God has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. I don't think it's helpful to see Mary's song as simply a reversal, where the powerful and the poor just switch positions. Rather, this is a vision of God repairing all things that are broken. It's about restoring relationships so that equity, equality, and dignity are possible for all. It's creation as it was always intended to be. This is the world we all seek. The world we long for, the world of Christmas that we hope for each and every year. But for this new world to be possible, it means allowing ourselves to be like Mary. Christmas will only be a brand new creation story if we recognize, as Barry mentioned earlier, that we are all called to be holy of holies for this world around us. Well, we're not all called to be blessed like Mary and physically be the vessel from which the Creator erupts back into human history. All of us are called to be gates of heaven. Is that how you think of yourself? For our lives are to be portals that link heaven to earth so that the Creator can again emerge into our world from us and begin reconciling all things once again. Like Mary, we are called to be immaculate in arcs. And that means we are called to be gateways of creation. people who dare to nurture God's embodiment into this world through our bodies. Portals linking heaven to earth. May it be so. Amen.